Replay, reflect, believe. More of God's Word for walking in faith every day of the week.
We pray that you are inspired to read the scripture further and to continue attending your local church. When in Philadelphia, you're welcome to join us for worship at Open Door Baptist Church, 1632 North 26th Street, zip code 19121, Sundays at 11 a.m. Now it's time to enjoy today's message.
Amen. Come on, will you pray with me? Father, how great is thy name? How magnificent is your glory? How mighty are your works? How full is your love and how far reaching is your mercy? Lord, you have found us this morning. You've reached us in your holy place. And so we respond with humble hearts. We are full of gratitude and thanksgiving. For our doubts, we ask for faith. For our natural bodies, we ask for bread. For our ailments, we ask for healing. And for our sorrow, we ask for comfort. Settle our souls with your word, O Lord. Point us toward your light. And let no sin have power over your children. For the glory of your name, we pray. Amen. Amen. And amen. Amen. And amen. We praise our Lord, who is our helper. Amen. Amen. Our scripture this morning will be found in a few places. Primarily, we're going to stay right in 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter. I'll start there at the fourth verse, but that's 1 Corinthians 12. And then I'll pick one or two verses from Colossians, the third, down at the 23rd, and then also Ecclesiastes, the 9th chapter at the 10th verse. Amen?
Amen.
But in 1 Corinthians 12, where we'll spend most of our time beginning at the fourth verse, it records as this. It says, now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is to the same God who empowers them all in everyone. Verse 7, to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. There in Colossians, the third chapter, the 23rd, it says, whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ. Amen. In Ecclesiastes 9 and 10, it says, whatever your hands finds to do, do it with your might. For there is no work or thought or knowledge or wisdom in Sheol to which you are going. Amen. We thank God for the reading of his word. You may be seated. For our time together this morning, I'd like us to consider this thought. We are designed to help.
Amen.
Praise God. We're thankful for what is called the gift of helps. Especially in seasons of storms. I was reading an interesting article on the Howard University website about help that a group of students provided after Hurricane Katrina some 20 years ago. Here's a glimpse of what it said. It said, this year marks the 20th anniversary of Hurricane Katrina, a mammoth Category 5 storm that slammed into New Orleans from the Gulf of Mexico in 2005 with 125 mile per hour winds. It was a once in a lifetime worst case scenario. More than 50 levees broke, causing devastating floods in the city's urban areas. 6 months after Hurricane Katrina's devastating impact, there were 250 Howard University students that ignored FEMA officials and boarded buses headed into the disaster zone. They served in New Orleans' Ninth Ward, one of the most under-resourced areas and arguably the most heavily damaged part of the city following the hurricane. And in the Louisiana heat and humidity, students slept in the same types of tents displaced residents were living in and got to work helping to gut and repair damaged homes with Habitat for Humanity. Other Howard volunteers provided assistance at a local school that was established for displaced children. Volunteers wore hazmat suits and hard hats to provide them to protect themselves from rampant mold and other dangerous elements. Despite the conditions, students took it in stride while getting to know the residents that they were helping. You can read the full article on the Howard website, but praise God for these students. Can you imagine how thankful the people were in that Ninth Ward of New Orleans to see these students get off the bus, put on some boots and gloves, and begin to bless them in their time of need? Even the students who couldn't hang with the boots and the gloves, some of them said, that's not for me. But it says that they used their gifts of teaching to work with children at local schools. They made room for their gift. They got in where they fit in, and they used what God put in them as the hands, feet, and voice of Jesus Christ, where the Lord had placed them. They were designed to help. That was 20 years ago this past August. And the world has changed in many ways since then, but help is still needed. And you don't have to go to New Orleans. Help is needed at your home, your neighborhood, your family's house. Amen. And because we're in the house of the Lord this morning, it's fair to say that there's help that's needed right here at Open Door Baptist Church. In our text today from 1 Corinthians 12, the Apostle Paul he's not requesting help here, but he is distinguishing the types of spiritual gifts that we find in the church, in the body of Christ for use in the ministry. It is as if he's in the kitchen pointing out different ingredients for a special recipe. And in fact, the ingredients he's talking about are you and I. We each have a gift, a unique talent, ability, or characteristic that God uses to bless the overall congregation of the saints. Here in verses 4, 5, and 6, Paul writes so that we know our gifts are all from the same source. This is important. Now, there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all in everyone. Amen. There are different gifts in the church, but all of us have one Creator. And this is true even for unbelievers. And it is God, our Creator, who empowers our usefulness. Because God created us to bring glory to His name, He designed us with specific and unique giftings and talents, He can then empower us and orchestrate our talents to work together and blend together. I'll go back to the recipe. If we were putting together a recipe for our table, a special one, we might go to one store to get one ingredient. But then we go and get two or three other items from different stores. And when we're done, we say that all that running around was worth it for our special meal because each of those stores had a specialty that the other stores could not deliver. All right? But listen, this is not so with our gifts and talents. There's just one store. And it has God's name on it. And for everything that the church needs, God will supply the gifting because God specializes in all varieties of gifts, amen, all varieties of service, amen, and all varieties of activities, the same Spirit, the same Lord, the same God.
Amen.
Amen. When we look further at verses 7 through 10, Paul writes, to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by one Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the ability to distinguish between spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. Here, Paul writes so that we know we are uniquely gifted and created with purpose. King David spoke of this in Psalm 139 when he said, for you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. What David was saying is that I know the wonderful works that you created in me. Listen, your neighbor might be distracted right now, so just tell yourself, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Glory to God. What I'm saying is that you hold a wonderful gifting to the church, one that is empowered by God himself, and he did not make us all to be the same.
Amen.
We're not copies. We're not clones. But verse 7 again, it says, to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. God created and designed each one of us with the gifting, not for our individual benefit, but rather that we put it in service for the common good of the entire church. Amen. What you do matters. Your service in church matters. Verse 11, it teaches us that when we return our gifts to the Lord, we're moving in his will. It said all these are empowered by one and the same Spirit who apportions to each one individually as he wills. You see, our gifts are deployed strategically for the glory and purpose of God. God is appointing a time, a place, and an occasion for our gifts to operate to achieve his will in the earth. When we say yes to using our gifts, God then deploys us or sends us strategically where our gifts can prosper and bring about a purpose that he has spoken into the earth. And I know that might be a lot in one sentence, but grandmama might have put it simply this way: God can use you, baby.
Amen.
God can use you. Yes, when you give your yes to God, he can use you. He has a plan for your gifts. You know, I don't believe that those young Howard University students took much thought into what they could do to help when Katrina hit New Orleans. I believe most of them simply knew in their spirit that something had to be done and that God would find a way to use them to be a blessing if they made themselves available in that season. Listen, God is supplying the help that we need in this house. A variety of unique gifts and talents are right here today. We are designed to help. Listen, we talked about what we're going to do after service. We talked about that we're going to have some sign-up forms, and I don't know if you've answered that question yet. How will you serve in God's house? What gift has the Lord entrusted you with? What will you contribute to the common good? My prayer is that each of us will grow in grace to the highest calling that we have in the name of Jesus. But while we might be trying to figure out the extent of our gifts, we can all be assured that we at least have the gift of helps. If we drop down further in chapter 12, verse 28, it reads, "And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, helping, administrating, and various kinds of tongues." Praise the Lord, in the midst of these seemingly high-powered gifts of teaching, miracles, and healing, Paul speaks of the gifts of helping and administration. Is there anyone in the house today that might at least be able to say that they have the gift of helps? You want to help out. You want to be of service. Here I am, Lord. Ecclesiastes 9 and 10 said it, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. And if you read it there, then the author argues that your gifts and talents will be of no use to anyone after you're in the grave. He encourages us to do all that we can do now while there is breath in our lungs and strength in our bones. And I thank God for the Apostle Paul, who in this 1 Corinthians brings it a different way, and he reminds us that our good works are useful, but godly works reflect that we are the children of the Most High God. No, he is not saying that we're working our way to heaven. But because the Lord has blessed us with an eternal inheritance, everything we do is to show our gratitude, our faith, and our desire to please our everlasting Father. In Jesus' name, amen. So, yes, in a few minutes, when we conclude this service, I'm going to ask you that question. I'm going to ask you how you think you might be able to help the church. What needs can you fulfill in this season? But before we start bringing out sign-up forms, I do have to ask, do you know God as your Father this morning? Do you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior? And listen, I got to say this because it's true. You can work in God's kingdom whether you're saved or not. Amen. Right? You don't have to be saved to be able to sweep floors or to set up some tables and chairs. But you must be saved to receive the eternal inheritance God has promised to those who believe. You must be saved for God himself to say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your master." Amen. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. Do you know your creator today? The doors of the church are open. Salvation is available to all who would call on the name of Jesus. Amen. Listen, if you know God has placed purpose and gifting in you, but you're not sure how to express it in the world today, I urge you to begin by taking the first step and receiving Jesus into your life right now. The doors of the church are open. Will you receive Jesus? Lord Jesus, I believe that you're the Son of God. I believe that on the cross you took my crimes, my shame, and my guilt. You died on the cross in my place so that I would not have to. And though they put you in the grave, 3 days later you rose again so that I could go with you someday. You gave me a purpose on earth, a restored relationship with the Father. And so today, Lord Jesus, I turn away from my sin and I'm born again. God is my Father. Jesus is my Savior. The Holy Spirit is my helper and my intercessor. And heaven is now my home. Amen. Praise the Lord. Will you come? Will you receive him in God's house today? The doors of the church are open. Will you come? Will you come? Glory to his name.
Thanks again for listening. Don't forget to say hello to your pastor for us. And if you're looking for a church fellowship in Philadelphia, we'd love to see you this Sunday at 11 a.m. Open Door Baptist Church, 1632 North 26th Street, zip code 19121.
More information is online at opendoorbaptistphilly.com and Instagram at opendoorbaptistphilly. Until next week, stay encouraged and always remember, God loves you.